praise team. We miss Chip, certainly, but you guys have filled in wonderfully, or you stepped up wonderfully, and we appreciate it. The Spirit, I just felt like you brought us to this point of service where God desires to move. So find in your word Psalm 102. Psalm 102. It's a beautiful day out there. It's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow. I'm giving you a weather report before the sermon here, but it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow. And then from then on, it's downhill a little bit weather-wise. So get out today. Get out tomorrow if you can. Get some fresh air, some sunshine, some vitamin D, and some air. It's going to be a great day in the Lord. Psalm 102. While you're finding that, I want to ask if any of you are bringing in these past. Roy Orbison. You remember Roy Orbison? The Hall of Famer Roy Orbison, who ranked number 13 on the list of singers of all time, burst on the scene with the hit, Only the Lonely, which he wrote along with John Melson. This song rose to number 2 on Billboard magazine's top hits in July of 1960. Let me give you a little tune or a little set of lyrics. Only the lonely know how I feel. Only the lonely know this feeling ain't right. Well, it may not be right, but it sure is a common feeling, isn't it? And I think it's been exasperated, accentuated during this time of pandemic. In fact, this research was done even before the pandemic. But did you know there is an organization online? Check it out. I did. It's called rentafriend.com. Seriously, some of you will check on your phones right now to fact check me, won't you? Check on your phone. Raise your hand when you find it. Rentafriend.com. For $10 an hour, perhaps even less, a strictly platonic relationship can be arranged. It's not a dating service. It's all on the up and up. It's not an escort service, but simply a friendship business. Vicky, not her name, who never meets a stranger, is making a living as a, quote, friend for hire. She and her profile, you get her phone number. This is what she says. The thing is, these people are just want someone to listen, like a presence. It's not about me. I'm just this person that's there for reassurance. And as unorthodox as this may sound, listen to some others. So there's Rent-A-Friend. There's also celebrities. I was shocked by this when I did this research. Listen to these words from some celebrities you might remember. Waylon Jennings. Remember Waylon Jennings? Listen to what he said. The world I live in is empty and cold. The loneliness cuts me and tortures my soul. Judy Garland, Wizard of Oz, somewhere over the rainbow. If I'm a legend, why am I so lonely? Albert Einstein, one of the brightest, smartest people who ever lived, said, quote, it is strange to be known so universally and yet be so lonely. John Milton, 17th century English author, Paradise Lost, quote, loneliness is the first thing which God named no good. As the Bible says, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. I could go on and on. Loneliness is no respecter of persons. It cuts across gender lines, ethnic lines, cultural, economic barriers. Being in a position of power does not exclude you from being lonely. In fact, if you'll read the biographies of these men and study these great military, government, business, educational, entertainment leaders, they're lonely. They're isolated. King David is an example. And let me say, full disclosure, I'm about to read two verses from Psalm 102. David wrote about half of the Psalms. This one does not say
David,
but it sure does sound like David to me. It's like Hebrews. We look at the Hebrews, and we, for all of my adult life as I preach, we don't know who wrote Hebrews, but it sure does sound like the Apostle Paul, doesn't it? So I'll look at Psalm 102, and it doesn't say David, but it sure does sound like David. Either way, it's still God's word. David was a master statesman, writer, soldier, musician. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. So if it was David or perhaps some other author of the Psalms, listen to what he said. Just two verses, verse 6 and 7. I resemble a pelican of the wilderness. I have become like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I have become like a lonely bird on a housetop. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would add your blessings to the reading of your word. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be pleasing in thy sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, in thy name. Amen. This is the last in a series of messages, Beat the Blahs. Beat the Blahs. We've discovered and examined such subject as depression. But we're going to look at loneliness. Only the lonely. Now, I want to tell you up front that this may be one of those messages that is more informational than inspirational, okay? This may be one of those messages that centers more on teaching than preaching. But I know when I discussed and we preached on depression back 3 or 4 weeks ago, I don't think I had ever got the response that I got from that message. So this is a sister message, and I hope it speaks to you in the same way as that message on depression. I'm going to ask four questions in the next 20, 25, 30 minutes or so. And the first question is this: what loneliness is it? Okay? We're going to talk about what it is, but I want to first talk about what loneliness isn't. Because the devil may be attacking you and convincing you that you're struggling in the depths of loneliness, but it could be something else. What loneliness isn't? Loneliness isn't being lonesome. Are you with me on that? Loneliness is not the same as being lonesome. You can be lonesome without being lonely. Did you know that? You can be lonesome without being lonely. Preacher, what are you talking about? I'll give you a great example. In the fall of 1976, I entered as a freshman at the University of Kentucky. And I moved about 3 hours away from home. And it was the first time I'd really been at home, away from home for any length of time, and I was lonesome. I was more than lonesome. I was homesick. I missed all of my friends back at Owensboro High School. I can remember back before email and cell phones and all of the digital age, I'd go to the little mailbox every day, that little clear mailbox, and if I saw an envelope in there laying sideways, diagonally, I know that I got a card or a letter from anybody remember those days? Getting mail, an actual letter with a stamp on it? You see, I was lonesome but not lonely because I was among thousands of people and I made lots of new friends. And I love the academic atmosphere and the social atmosphere, and I think I enjoyed it very much. Those were great years. I was lonesome, but I was not lonely. You with me on that? What loneliness is it? It isn't solitude. Loneliness is not the same as solitude. You see, during this pandemic, people have been forced into solitude. But that doesn't mean you have to have been forced into loneliness. You see what I mean? I'll give you an example. It'd probably do all of us good to break away and enjoy some solitude. Break away from the crowds. Break away from the noise. Break away from the drama. Break away from the confusion. The fact is, if you read the Gospels And we're going to get into the gospel starting next week for several months. But Jesus often broke away and went into solitude. And the main reason that Jesus went into solitude is because he wanted to be alone with the Father. Mary Sarton said, "Loneliness is the poverty of self. Solitude is the richness of self." What loneliness isn't? It isn't the same as solitude. Loneliness is not the same as isolation. You see, you can be lonely in a crowd. Did you know that? In fact, crowds often enhance loneliness. Let me give you another example. Back in the summer of 2019, I believe it was, for the first time in several years, I went to the Southern Baptist Convention in Birmingham. I hadn't been in many years, and Birmingham was pretty close, so I drove over to the Southern Baptist Convention. I parked my car and went into the great Birmingham Civic Center, and there were thousands of Baptist preachers wandering about, and leaders and ministers and lay people. And I want you to know that I felt loneliness, if you will. I was isolated, if you will. And it wasn't long. I turned around. This was a God moment. I turned around. The guy in back of me in the registration line, I said, "Hey, I know you. Hey, I know you too. I remember. What are you doing for lunch?" "I'm not doing a thing. What are you doing?" So we had lunch, and it began about a three-day great meeting. But loneliness is not the same as isolation, because you can be lonely in a crowd. How many of you can remember being lonely? Yes, you can be in a crowd. You can be in Sanford Stadium, Jim. There could be 98,000 fans, and you walk in there, and you don't know one soul. There are 98,000 people. What's going on here? I feel lonely. Loneliness is not lonesomeness, solitude, or isolation. It is a painful sense of being unwanted, unneeded, uncared for, maybe even unnecessary. What it is. Okay? You with me right now? We've covered one question. But we've got three questions to go. What causes loneliness? Well, we could say pandemics, couldn't we? Well, let's go down the list here and look at some things that trigger loneliness in a person's life. Are you with me? Are you getting this? I told you a different kind of message, but you need to get this, because I'm trying to deliver things to you that we deal with every day. And I'm preaching messages. This comes out of my own heart. All of these messages come from personal experience. I've experienced these things, and thus I can bring it about even more clearly. What causes loneliness? Well, I'll tell you one thing that causes loneliness is grief. Grief. I understand, Mike, you do some grief share around here, because grief is such a common experience. David certainly experienced grief. Mike read the passage of Scripture earlier from Psalm 142. David was grieved. David, one of the wealthiest men in the world, the king, the statesman, why was he grieved? Because his son had turned on him and usurped the throne. David spent as much time running from his enemies as he did reigning on his throne. Did you know that? Let me say that again. It seems as though David spent as much time running from his enemies as he did reigning on his throne. Psalm 3, verses 1 and 2, David, for sure this time, says, "O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me." That's amazing. I think that's one of the things that shocked me. That's why you need to read through the Bible at least once in your life, maybe more often than that. Because you see, what you're going to discover, that people that you thought had the world by the tail actually struggled very much. David was an example. Grief can trigger loneliness. My father, let's start with my mom. In 2016, in the summer of 2016, my mother died at the age of 86. She actually passed away before my father did. But I want to tell you, from that moment on, for the next 3.5 years, my father was never the same. He was one of these life of the party guys. Back in his day, if I were here preaching, he could come. He would be here. He'd be sitting there on the first or second row cheering me on. And when it was over, he'd hang around. He'd want to say hello to every one of you because he was an extrovert. He loved church. He was a deacon. He was very well known in his town where we lived. But I want you to know, when she died, the switch went off. He was never again the same. People would ask him how he was, and he'd say, not good. I'd rather be dead than alive. I mean, he said that, and he wasn't afraid to say it. And then about 3.5 years later, he got his wish and went on to be with the Lord. But I know, and I saw it in action, that grief triggered loneliness. Have you experienced that? I know you have. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hands, because I think half the hands in this room would go up and say, preacher, you're reading my mind. You're reading my mail, because you're talking about things that I experience, and I know what you're going through. And I've gone through it. I know my father went through it. And I've seen so many people in 30 years as a senior pastor go through this. What else triggers loneliness? Rejection. Oh, my goodness. Is there anything worse in the world than being rejected? Maybe you've been rejected in a relationship. Maybe you've been rejected in a job search. Maybe you've been rejected in a family relationship. It's painful, isn't it? But you read the Bible and you'll see that the Bible is full of the people who experienced rejection. Jeremiah is one of my favorite characters in all of the Bible, one of my favorite prophets. You know why? Because we read about Jeremiah, and he wasn't just a flash in the pan. He wasn't here today and gone tomorrow. Jeremiah ministered for 4 decades. Jeremiah had a prophetic ministry that spanned 5 different kings. But listen to what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah, do you think Jeremiah had his own website? Do you think Jeremiah had 5 million Twitter followers? Do you think Jeremiah wrote best-selling books and had his own television show? On the contrary, oh Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You have overcome me and prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. That's Jeremiah. That's the man who devoted his life for the prophetic ministry of God. And then there's Job. You knew we weren't going to be able to get through this message without talking about Job, didn't you? He has removed my brothers far from me, and my acquaintances are completely estranged from me. My relatives have failed, and my intimate friends have forgotten me. He even goes about 2 verses later, if you know this passage, he says, my breath has become offensive to my wife. It's in there. You read it. Job experienced rejection. Jeremiah experienced rejection. Jesus experienced rejection. What better example is it that Jesus came into his own and they received him not? They rejected him and put him on a cross, and he died. But what a significant death it was, because he shed his blood in order that our sins might be forgiven. And starting next week, we're going to really delve into that even more significantly. What causes loneliness? Grief. Rejection. Here's one that I know we experience. Inferiority. Inferiority. People feel as though, and I know you felt this, if I ask you to raise your hand, I think nearly every hand in the room would go up. Inferiority triggers loneliness. You think you don't matter. You think you don't belong. Has anybody ever had that feeling? You go into a classroom or a social situation or your workplace and you think, something's wrong here. I don't belong here. This atmosphere is cliquish. These people are, they're rejecting me, and thus I feel inferior. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Of course you know what I'm talking about. And I tell you who just leaps off the pages of the Bible here, Moses. You remember Moses? The burning bush lit up and God called Moses. Did he say, yes, God, yes, 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 whatever you say? No, he put up all sorts of barriers. What if they don't believe me? I can't speak with eloquence. Who am I, God, that I should go? You know, there's a case of Moses as a poster child for what I'm preaching on. You know, Moses got out ahead of God. Remember when he jumped in there and he killed the Egyptian? And he was forced into the Midian desert for 40 years to tend his father-in-law's sheep. Moses experienced rejection and inferiority. And I tell you what, we don't read a lot about it, not as much as David, but I think Moses must have been very lonely in that desert, in that wilderness, tending those sheep. I heard about a man who thought he had an inferiority complex. He went to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist said, I got some good news and I've got some bad news. What's the good news? You don't have a complex. What's the bad news? You are inferior. I had to throw a joke in there. It was getting too heavy, wasn't it? That's a lie from hell. Did you know that? The devil is the great accuser. I'm here to tell you it's a lie from the pit of hell. He's telling you, you don't matter, you don't belong, you aren't significant. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Don't believe it. You matter. You are significant. There are jobs and responsibilities and opportunities that have your name written all over them. And Satan's going to do all he can and muster all of the spiritual warfare he can to keep you from discovering what that is. Stop feeling inferior. And I tell you what, in this media culture, and you know I can't hardly go through a sermon without referencing that, but it makes us feel even more inferior, doesn't it? Because like I said, there's always going to be someone smarter, prettier, skinnier, and richer than you to make you feel bad. But I want you to know, if you looked down and popped up the hood and looked inside their lives, you would not want to be them. Trust me. A lot of them are not nice people. They're struggling more than you can even imagine. Inferiority. What triggers loneliness? Self-centeredness. Ironically, people who think too highly of themselves wind up in the same place that people who think very little of themselves. Did you know that? I'm going to say that again to make sure you got it. People who think too highly of themselves wind up in the same place as people who think too little of themselves. I think of Cain, having no regard for anyone but himself, murdered his brother, right? And what else did he do? Am I my brother's keeper? A man wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. Adrian Rogers, who's an inspiration for me from as a preacher and a leader, said, no life is so empty as one that is self-centered. No life is so centered as one that is self-empty. What causes loneliness? Grief, rejection, inferiority, self-centeredness. Finally, before we move on and wrap this up, the depersonalization of society. High tech, low touch, this has been around for 15 or 20 years, and the proliferation of all of these emails and all of this electronic gadgetry and this or that has really done more, even trigger more loneliness, hasn't it? A deep part. I know you say, preacher, you know, I must come across to the millennial as old school, and you see my notes up here color-coded, and, you know, I don't have an iPad up here. I'm afraid if I get up here with my iPad, the power goes out halfway in the middle of it, and I'm stuck. So I'll just use the old-fashioned method, thank you, but the depersonalization of society causes loneliness. What loneliness causes? We're going to get there. I'm watching my time. That's great. I've never been at a church that had a clock on the front row. That is odd. I don't have to put my watch up here anymore. What causes loneliness? And now let's look at what loneliness causes. Let me tell you what it'll cause. Distorted thinking. I'm covering about every single person in the Old Testament, it seems like, as though, but I think about Elijah. Think about Elijah. He was depressed. Not only was he depressed, Elijah was lonely. And he thought, God, I'm the only one left in this business, because he was depressed and lonely. His thinking was distorted. Was that true? No, there were 7,000 other followers, and he had distorted thinking. There's also destructive fallout. Now I'm going to go to the book here a little bit. Just bear with me. I told you this was more informational maybe than even inspirational. But let me tell you what loneliness causes. Destructive fallout. What do you mean, preacher? I mean physical breakdown. A study at a major hospital of patients suffered heart attacks showed 40% testified being depressed or lonely a few days or weeks before the attack. Loneliness leads to suicide, alcoholism, and a number of other serious health problems. So what loneliness causes? Loneliness can trigger distorted thinking, destructive fallout physically, but not only physically, but emotionally. One survey showed 80% of psychiatric patients sought help because of loneliness. 80% of those that go into a psychiatrist's office, loneliness was part of the problem. I'm going to bring in another character who was there before David, Saul. Saul was lonely at times, I think, in that leadership role, and I think it led to an emotional breakdown. He went crazy. Read about him. There's also spiritual breakdown. David questioned, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? What loneliness causes? Distorted thinking. Destructive fallout. So it's 10:46 according to the clock, and you must be thinking, oh my goodness, preacher, what a hole you have dug. We're in the weeds. We're trudging along in the mud here. Is there any hope? You're not going to end now, are you? If I ended now, as one of my old seminary professors said, you'd send them home on flat tires. And we're not going to do that, are we? Give me about 10 more minutes. Give me about 10 more minutes. Managing loneliness. Are you lonely? I get lonely. I do. And it seems like these past few months, it's even reached up and bitten me more than usual because of this transition in my life. So how do we manage it? You listening? Everybody awake? Here's how you manage loneliness. This way, can you hear me all right? I want to make sure there's no problem. I want to get off this. You manage loneliness. You know what that is? 2 points and we're done. Establish spiritual identity. Establish spiritual identity. First and foremost, if you're loneliness, you better make sure that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You better make sure that Jesus is not only your Savior, but Jesus is your friend. Because I want to tell you what, you and Jesus, me and Jesus, Jesus and me, we make a majority. Jesus and you, you constitute a majority, right? So, if somebody comes in and I'm doing some counseling and they say, preacher, I am lonely. Well, the first question I want to ask is, you know, is Jesus your friend? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Psalm 142, 4 and 5. Mike read that earlier. I'm going to read it to you again. Just a couple of those verses. Psalm 142. Give me a moment to find it, because I did not write that down on a card. Psalm 142, 4 and 5. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. But I cried out and I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Isn't that awesome? You're here now more than ever. You're isolated. You're secluded. You're lonely. Use that as an opportunity to grow closer to the Lord. Well, I tell you, my prayer during these times so often has been, oh God, don't let this time of sheltering and seclusion and whatever you want to call it, don't let this go to waste. Don't you think that? I don't want to look back and think, oh no, I blew it. What a wonderful opportunity to spend more time with the Lord. What a wonderful opportunity to grow closer with Him. What a wonderful opportunity to become closer friends with Jesus. And I blew it. I don't want that to happen to you. Ask God, say, God, and I don't mean this irreverently, folks, but say, God, do not let this pandemic go to waste. You're praying for others. I just read on my phone this morning, a preacher that I knew up in, right on the border of Cobb and Paul, died from COVID. This man had he was a pastor of a large church. He retired. He was an interim pastor 2 or 3 years, and it's awful. But let's not let it go to waste. Establish spiritual identity, okay? One more point, and we're done. Expand your spiritual community. Expand your spiritual. I'm going to dip into some psychology here. We're going to be done. Did you know man has three basic needs? We have three basic needs, and I'm sure you'll attest to these. One is to love and be loved. We have three basic needs. And the number one on the list, we want to love and be loved. I've seen people, and I don't want to tick you off for those of you who have pets, but I see people that I think they have pets, and they're very close to their pets, and they're like people in their lives. And I don't want to try to be amateur psychologist up here, but I've seen people that I think they love their pets more than they love people. But I think there's something to this, and I think even during this pandemic time, I've seen people with one dog, now they've got 2 or 3 dogs walking through the neighborhood. But I think it shows, it's an example. We want to love and be loved. And if it doesn't work with people, we've got to go to pets, don't we? Secondly, to be understood. We want to be loved. We want to be understood. And we need to be needed. We need to be needed. Shared joy is double the joy. Did you know that? Shared sorrow is half the sorrow. There's an old Norwegian proverb. Share your joy and you double the joy. Share your sorrow and you split it in half. Expand your spiritual community. As John Donne said, no man is an island unto himself. No man is an island unto himself. You are your brother's keeper. And I want to tell you, thank God. And I tell people this often, that since the last Sunday in August, we've met every Sunday, at least since I've been here. And I give God the glory. I realize some of you are staying home, and if that's what you feel like you need to do, that's what you need to do. No one's judging you for that. But I applaud you for coming out. We're taking precautions. We're distancing. We're wearing masks. We're using the sanitizer. We're doing all of those things. I'm so glad that you've chosen to come. And I bet you, not because of my preaching, but I bet you, you'll look back and you'll say, one thing that kept me going during that time was to be able to come here to the church and worship with my family and friends. Did I hear an amen? I applaud you, folks. I tell people, these people are wonderful. There are, and I'm not judging. I'm not pointing fingers. You do what you think you need to do. If you're listening, that's my word. But all I know is we have several elderly people in the crowd, and you ain't letting this get you down. You hear an amen again? I'm going. I'll wear my mask. I'll wash my hands. I'll use hand sanitizer. I'll social distance. By golly, I am going because I need spiritual community. We need this, and we need this. And maybe, just maybe, it'll help push away the loneliness. A British writer was leaving Liverpool by ship. He noticed all the other passengers were waving to their friends on the dock. He rushed down to stop the little boy. He said, "Would you wave to me if I paid you?" Of course, the boy agreed. He didn't have anybody to wave to him. He was all alone. The rider rushed back on board, leaned over the rail, glad to have someone wave back. And sure enough, there was the boy waving back. I want to tell you, folks, you think that's a ridiculously insane story, but it's not. How many wealthy, prosperous, mover and shaker people would have friends if the spigot were turned off and the money stopped flowing? Remember the prodigal son? He went from being the life of the party to intense loneliness because the money ran out, didn't it? There is a cure. There is a cure. It starts with a relationship with Christ, and it expands on with establishing spiritual community. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we can deal with such practical matters as this. Loneliness is not an evil thing. Loneliness is very real. We know, we read the Bible, and it seems like just nearly everybody that gets mentioned very often is going through loneliness. But we also know, Lord, that it's not a place you want us to camp out. It's not a place that we need to be permanently. That heaven, there will be no loneliness. We know that in hell, that's going to be one of the many curses, intense loneliness. But in the meantime, here as we're alive on this earth, help us, Lord, to not only find an answer to our loneliness, but to be an answer to someone else's loneliness as well. Guide us now as we conclude this service in Christ's name.